Hi, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of A Real Page Turner with Mara Maros and Donnie Granza. Hi, Donnie.
Hello, Mara. Great to be back for another episode here.
Yeah. So we kick off June with Brokeback Mountain, and we decided to start with this because we wanted to kick off Pride Month, which June is Pride Month. So for the listeners who don't know what Pride Month is, Donnie, can you fill them in?
Yeah. Pride Month, it's started in 1970. It was used, June was chosen as the month to commemorate the 1 year anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. The Stonewall Riots, which started on June 28th, 1969, is considered a kind of a watershed moment in the gay rights movement, where, you know, members of the LGBTQ plus community had like pushed back against police who were frequently raided gay bars and at the Stonewall, and they had raided it and turned into a riot, and kind of, and ever since. And since then, the Pride Month has grown and prospered. And now, you know, every year there's parades and everything and events, and to really, you know, highlight the progress that was made and progress that is still yet to come. So we wanted to highlight some stories here this month about the community and the different like feelings towards like what has happened and what, you know, what goes on in lives.
Yeah. So we decided, you know, we chose Brokeback Mountain and to kind of kick it off. And I think, you know, we chose this one because there really hadn't been a movie like this, I think, prior to Brokeback Mountain. And Brokeback Mountain was actually based on a short story by Annie Proulx that was published in 1997 in The New Yorker. And if you remember from our previous episode, she also did the foreword for the newest edition for The Power of the Dog. So she is a well-known storyteller and has done a lot of short stories based off of like cowboys and Wyoming, Montana, and that type of atmosphere. So that was, you know, Brokeback Mountain was based on a short story in 1997.
So it was adapted to a film written by Larry McMurtry and Diana Ossana, and it was directed by Ang Lee. It's in the two lead roles are Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal as the two cowboys, and also Michelle Williams and Anne Hathaway played their wives. It was a big success. The budget was pretty small by Hollywood standards, only $14 million, but it grossed over $178.1 million. It was critically acclaimed and pronounced as one of the best films of the year. It earned 8 Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture. On Oscar night, it wound up taking home 3 awards. Ang Lee won for Best Director, also won for its adapted screenplay and original score. It did, however, miss out on the Best Picture win to a film called Crash. And since then, it's kind of been like a controversial decision in Oscar history, as Crash has kind of been considered one of like the less than stellar Best Picture winners through the years. And many felt that Brokeback Mountain should have won, and they kind of thought that maybe some homophobia among Academy members may have been at play. But, you know, very interesting, to say the least.
And remind me again, I know you said it, what year was the movie?
2005.
Okay. Yeah, and I was reading a little bit on this. It's kind of one of those screenplays they sat on but had a hard time getting somebody to commit to. Because of the subject matter, and, you know, they weren't sure, I guess, you know, Annie Proulx wasn't really sure how it was going to translate to film, but when she read the screenplay, it seemed like she was very happy.
Yeah, there was something, like, I was reading about the short story and how Annie Proulx had come up with the idea, and I saw this story that she was, like, she was in a bar at, like, in the West, like, you know, Wyoming or Montana, I'm not sure where, but, you know, it's kind of like a rough and tumble bar. And she noticed a gentleman just sitting alone at a table, and he was like looking at some people. And she noticed that he like had looked at some, you know, other men in the bar, not like, you know, wasn't assuming that he was gay or something, but just, you know, it was a little peculiar that he just kept looking at certain people. And she kind of, and it made her kind of think, like, how would it feel like if someone was, you know, from this time and, you know, in this environment, and this environment, like this, like, kind of country environment, as someone who was gay, like, how how would they feel? Like, what would be going through their mind or something? So that's what, you know, gave her the idea for the short story. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And when you said, when I was watching this and listening to it, watching it and reading the short story, it made me think about what year was Matthew Shepard killed in Wyoming? And
that was in the 90s.
It was 1998. So the year after the short story, you know, which was horrific, but almost, you know, as the short story demonstrates it in the movie, you know, the father took, I believe it was Enos, and the brother to see a cowboy who had assumed to be gay that was tortured and killed as kind of like a cautionary tale, you know, this is what happens. And sadly enough, you know, Matthew Shepard, not that he was a cowboy, but he was probably, you know, a gay man in a place where being gay wasn't really, you know, too prominent at that time in the 90s. And so it's kind of, I don't know if it's coincidental or, you know, very sad, but, you know, in the short story and in the book, you know, they kind of, I mean, in the movie, they do, you know, kind of that's, they're afraid of that. They're afraid of being found out and, you know, they want to, you know, Jack Twist is really pushing for them to be together. But Enos is saying that that can't be because that's not accepted in what would happen to us if people knew.
Yes. Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of like an eerie similarity like you mentioned. But, you know, as far as the film goes, I was really, like, I was really impressed with the performances. I thought that Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal, who both earned Oscar nominations for Best Actor and Supporting Actor respectively, as well as Michelle Williams for Supporting Actress, that I really was impressed with them, with like, because it kind of like, it seemed very like raw and believable, that like it kind of like put in the mindset here, you have these, you know, these men that are really, you know, particularly Heath Ledger's character Enos, really struggling with his feelings, that, you know, who's been made to believe that, you know, this is raw, you shouldn't have these feelings. And that's, it really was very believable, as I kind of thought of someone who might be, you know, who would be going for this, like in this invite, you know, in this environment, in this, you know, time period. And so I believe the whole story is supposed to take place from like over the course of 20 years. I believe it first takes place in 1963.
Yep.
And leads up till 1983. So it's definitely, so you kind of have to like think of it at the time. And then if you say like, I believe it's in, does take place in Wyoming, correct? I believe, or one of the Western states. Yes, in Wyoming.
Yeah, and, I'm like the gamma guess. I keep saying Wyoming, but I think that's where it is. Yeah,
there's, you know, and obviously like a state, you know, not to disparage the state of Wyoming, but it's, you know, definitely like not like the hotspot of progression as far as like society goes, that like even today it would probably, you know, someone who is gay may have the most, not the friendliest environment there, you know, so you can imagine how it would be in the 60s. So very interesting. And I just thought the performances were very believable.
Yeah, I thought their performances were great. And, you know, I was reading a little bit on this and, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger were good friends before they started filming. And, you know, the director and Ang Lee said that, you know, they did a great job and they were a little bit of, you know, nervous to have such young actors who were kind of a little bit newer taking on such, you know, heavy roles. And once he saw them, like, you know, he knew he made the right decision because they were very good and, you know, played well beyond their years, that they were excellent in that role. And I thought Michelle Williams as Alma and Anne Hathaway was great as Lorene, which, you know, is interesting because neither of them were married at the time when they first, you know, get together and, you know, start falling in love. And so many years pass before they see each other again. You know, they both, you know, are married and have kids, which is interesting. And they, you know, I think you kind of get the sense in the story that Enos, the only man he's really been with is Jack, but it's not the same in the reverse, right? Like, because when you read the short story, you get the sense that maybe Jack has, you know, been with some other men. And in the movie, I think that's obviously what they're going for. You know, he goes to Mexico and, you know, you see him looking at another guy in the bar. So he's kind of, I think, explored it, his sexuality a little bit more than Enos has. You know, Enos is kind of happy to stay with his wife and kids. And he's not, you know, like having pipe dreams of moving to Mexico and being together, where Jack is a little bit more, I think, comfortable being, you know, out and being together if that happens, where I think that Enos's character really isn't.
Yeah. Yes, is, you know, definitely a great point in that I see. Yeah, because, you know, Jack's character is, you know, is much more comfortable. And I, you know, notice that in the film really, you know, so it kind of creates this conflict between them, you know, and you wonder, like, as you're watching it, how will that come to a head? You know, will Jack eventually be able to convince Enos, or will Enos, you know, continue to back down? That's
it's interesting because they both very much so love their wives, right? Like, they weren't kind of using them as a cover, right? Like, they loved their wives, they loved their family, they loved each other. And it was just that complexity of, like, how will that all kind of pan out or work, and them coming to terms with it. And I think it, you know, Michelle Williams' character, Alma, obviously finds out, but she really doesn't use it against him, you know, because she loved him. You know, although they got divorced. But one of the things that I thought was much different than the short story, and maybe I missed in the short story, but when they're having dinner together and Enos threatens to punch Alma and grabs her by the arm when she kind of addresses it and gets, like, a little bit violent with her. You know, you really see how kind of, I think he feels, like, ashamed or found out, but I don't remember that happening in the short story, like him getting so physical with Alma when she confronts him about that she knows that all those times he was going with Jack, that he wasn't really fishing because she planted something in his tackle box that she knows he never read.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, you know, it was a good way to highlight kind of the, you know, the self-hatred that Enos had going on. This is something he just really struggled with. And you mentioned earlier that the actors, like, they played, you know, beyond their years. And what I thought was fascinating is, like, how young they were, is that, like, Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal were both, like, in their 20s. Like, they were, like, I believe, like, 25 and 26 years old. So, you know, and it kind of, you know, and I didn't, like, get that sense, like, now as, like, someone as I'm, like, now past that age, that, like, you know, they seemed, like, at least, like, much, much older. I'm not sure, like, what exactly, like, what age the characters were supposed to be playing, but it just seemed, like, bizarre that they, you know, the actors themselves were so young, and they, you know, they acted like they were in their 40s. Very interesting there. But
this is one short story. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, one thing I really about the movie that I really liked was the music, the score to it. It was, like, you know, it was very, like, subtle, and which I was kind of, like, surprised that it won the Oscar for best original score, because when you think of, like, that, like, you think of, like, loud bombastic scores or something, and this was more, like, subtle and kind of, like, twangy, and, you know, very just, like, set the mood. So that was one thing I wanted to point out. I just thought it was really, really good. But go on.
No, I think, you know, the movie, I liked them both, right? With the movie, for me, the beginning was much more exciting. And then it kind of got a little slow for me. And I really enjoyed the short story. Like, I thought it was very good. But I feel like this is one of those, you know, sometimes you have to expand so much when you're going off of a short story, right? Like, we've had a few of those where they really have to expand. And I mean, they threw in some characters that I think you really didn't know. And I think the daughter, Rooney Mara, was Alma Jr. And I think that was, like, the first, I didn't realize she was in this, had to be one of her earliest movies. Like, I think the daughter was a more prominent character, and they aged her progressively through the years and showed that closeness with her dad, which I thought was great. But I think it was one of those that they didn't add a whole lot, and you still got the same essence and feelings that you got in the short story and the movie. Like, I liked them, you know, both. And I thought that it was really well done, because it, you got everything. Like, there wasn't major changes. And really the whole feeling of the short story translated into the movie, I thought.
Yes, I feel the same way. I think I thought that, you know, that both were really well done, and I do, like, vividly agree about the daughter with Rudy Mara's character, that, like, it felt like kind of strange because he had two daughters, but she seemed like she was, like, much more prominent in the film. So, you know, I guess that was kind of, like, a little on purpose, because she kind of showed the closeness with her father, eventually, like, culminating in the final scene where she's, you know, an adult and saying that she wants to get married and wants her father to be there. So, you know, I thought, you know, she did a good job, and she's obviously had, you know, a lot of success since the film.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Anne Hathaway's character, Lorene, was very good. And she obviously, I think, is different from Alma, is that she kind of, Alma, you know, moved on and divorced him, where I think Lorene was more, I think she knew what was going on, but
yeah,
she chose to like, just kind of move their life along and do whatever she did, because they were running a business. So they had, you know, obviously a lot of money, you know, that she just kind of did that. And it was kind of like she didn't necessarily have a problem with it, which was interesting. But you also got the feeling like, I don't know, when in the movie, when he was talking about having an affair with the one lady down the street, I couldn't decide if he was having an affair with the lady or the husband. Because the one scene was like, he was asking, the husband was like, oh, we should get together sometime at this cabin. And there was like innuendo there.
Yes.
And so when she's, I couldn't figure out, and maybe I'd have to watch it closely again, more closely, and really pay attention, like, to that scene. Was he having an affair with the wife or the husband? I wasn't really sure.
I think it was implying that it was the husband. And it's funny because the husband is played by that David Harbour, who now like has blown up a lot. He stars on Stranger Things now. So it was an early role for him there. Oh, but one thing I did want to point out, I believe we were mistaken that no, the daughter was not played by Rooney Mara. It was her sister, actually, Kate Mara, who was an actress as well. So, you know, sorry.
I must have seen it, and then I must have seen the name, and then in my head just changed it to Rooney Mara.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely got the sense that Anne Hathaway's character, Lorene, did know about what they were doing. That it can, and definitely in the scene, and I guess, you know, we could put a spoiler alert on this now on. That Jake Gyllenhaal's character Jack gets killed, and then later on when Enos and Lorene have that phone call, and she's talking to him and telling him about his death and everything, I definitely got the sense that she knew, like, just in the tone of her voice and what she was saying, I think that she knew about their affair.
And I couldn't figure out, was it Enos's worst fears that he was killed and by people who knew he was gay, or did he die the way the wife said? Like, you know, he was hit in the face with a hubcap or something when he was changing a flat tire. And I couldn't decide in the story and in the movie what really happened.
Yeah, I guess I would say that was like kind of open to interpretation. But, you know, if I had to lean one way, I think he was murdered. I would get the sense, because I think with the whole hubcap story, you know, and you got to think, you know, still like in the time where, you know, this, you know, where being gay was, you know, still not accepted and very, you know, a lot of pushback, that it could see how, you know, people may be like ashamed and not want, and can kind of like lie and say that, you know, oh, you know, let's make up something else. So, you know, we don't. So, because people are talking and, you know, this could be a good cover, for them.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't really think of it that way, that I was just kind of like, maybe they did leave it open to interpretation.
Yeah, it could be.
Anything else you wanted to talk about in this one?
I think about covers, you know, I did enjoy both of them. I think, you know, the short story was a nice, quick, easy read. But the film, you know, it's not an enjoyable film. Like, it's not like, oh, it's like, oh, you know, feel real good about it, real good afterwards or something. It's very sad.
I can remember when this movie came out and there was a lot of buzz around it and people were talking, and I didn't remember ever seeing it. I don't think I ever saw it prior to, you know, this week.
I watched it in college. I had a movie class where we actually read the short story and then watched the movie or something. It was a few years after it came out. It was 2005. I was in high school at the time. I do remember when it came out, and there were a lot of, there was a lot of like buzz around it, and unfortunately, like lots of, not very good, you know, not very good jokes. And, you know, that even then, like, you know, still, like, we've still, you know, progressed, you know, just in the last 16, 17 years, it's been better. Because I remember there was an award show shortly after. It wasn't the Oscars or something. It was like a smaller award show, I remember watching. And Jake Gyllenhaal was there, and he had a seat up front, and the host mentioned, pointed him out, and he says, "Oh, Jake, why are you sitting up front? I thought you liked it in the rear." You know, and I was like, the kind of show, like that kind of homophobic, you know, jokes that, you know, that really like aren't funny and just mean spirited, that, you know, even as, you know, in the 2000s, you know, still was pretty prominent, still was around. So we've hopefully progressed a lot better.
Yeah, I hope so. And the other thing I wanted to mention too is this movie, when it was released, I don't know if you know this, but it was the first major film to be released to DVD and digital downloads.
Oh,
for the computer. How about that?
Yeah, very interesting.
So I was really, I thought that was really interesting. But they said, you know, when we're talking about representation and Pride Month, so this movie really opened the door for a lot of other representation on screen. You know, this such things like Love Simon, Call Me by Your Name, Carol. You know, it really opened a lot of doors and made it, you know, more acceptable to have those types of relationships, you know, same-sex relationships on screen.
Yeah, you know, representation is very important, that, you know, people, you know, that those, you know, people can, you know, from all walks of life can feel, you know, represented, that, you know, for so long there, you know, they had like no one to like look up to, or no, you know, films or anything that featured, you know, people like them. So it doesn't, you know, it's not the only thing, but it is, you know, pretty important. So definitely there's still more work to be done, but on the right track.
Yeah. So that's, you know, really, really interesting and good. But yeah, I did like this, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. It's just, the end was a little slow for me, but otherwise, you know, it's a really good love story. Who, unfortunately, at the end has kind of a tragic, sad ending. You know, you don't get the fairy tale ending, but you know, it was a good kind of more, I guess, realistic ending. But I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I really liked the short story.
Yes, I did as well. But I always prefer the films.
Good. Well, anything else we wanted to delve into? Did we probably missed a ton, but, you know, the essence of time, is there anything else we wanted to talk about?
You know, Randy Quaid was in this before he went off the deep end and started acting crazy.
I know. I looked, I'm like, oh, Randy Quaid, there you are.
Yeah. Cousin Eddie.
What I felt, you know what, while you say that, I'm going to jump into this quick too. Randy Quaid also knew that they were having a relationship, because he was watching his herd through his binoculars and saw them. But he never really did anything about it either. Like, he didn't use it against them. Like, I felt like they had and he could have, you know, I think the wives didn't want to because they had families and they really did love each other. But Randy Quaid's character, Joe Aguirre, really could have, you know, used that information against them. And you didn't really see him do that. I mean, he wouldn't give Jack Twist a job again when he came through and made it clear that he knew what they were doing, but he didn't like use it to, I don't know, make their lives worse or be nastier, come up there and beat them or have somebody beat them up. Like, that never really happened. So it's interesting the way there were people who kind of knew that information in the movies and acted with like a little bit of integrity.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good point. And so definitely, you know, made it like a different feel to it, to the film.
Yeah. Good. Well, until next week, listeners, keep reading
and keep watching.